All right. Well, thank you for watching and listening, wherever you're watching and listening around the world today. We are so thankful that you are here and spending time with us. I will make sure here as we rock and roll that we are that you can hear me. So this is perfect. Who's ready to have their best summer ever? Kind of what you hear right now is great, right? Like this time last year, like think about this 2 years ago, the summer we were in. Man, like we were riding high in like 2019, weren't we? Like we were trying to think what we were going to do. Cruise ships were okay. They were just running afloat wherever they were around the world. It wasn't a big deal. And then 2020 hit us really roughly. And last summer we didn't know what to do. Are we supposed to wear 12 masks, 13 masks? 7 is the number of completion. So we walk around with 7 masks. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know where things were going. And so that's why we as a church this summer are stepping in and talking about how we can have our best summer ever and live life to the fullest. Because there's never an excuse to not live life to the fullest. Like I will tell you right now, as our church family knows, like I'm going through health issues. It is what it is. I've had those for a while. But there's no excuse not to have health and live to the fullest. Live the day. Take the day. Because Jesus is our living hope, right? So this is where this lines up perfectly. Have you ever gone somewhere and feel you lack the tools necessary to get the job done? Parents can raise their hand because think about this. After 2 days, they send you home with this human being without an instruction manual, and you're expected to make sure the well-being of that child is prepared. Like, you just go there, like, you know, you expect everything else. Like, is there like an update on this? How many times do I need to download it? Is this the beta release, or is this like, what is this one? Like, what's happening, right? Like, have you ever just been somewhere? That's where we can live our life so many times, is we can feel like we're lacking something. There's just something missing. We can't work through what it is, and that's what we're going to be diving into today as we spend the next few weeks in Psalm 23. We're going to be talking about lack nothing, because we can't live our life to the fullest if we feel like we're lacking something, can we? Like, how can you live to the fullest? Like, here's where I would say you ever have a job, not just parents, like football. So, NFL, I can tell you what's going on with the game. Now, those guys are smarter than I, but there is no way. Like, I couldn't even be the water boy on an NFL football team. Like, there's no way. I don't hold a candle to that. Like, I lack the tools necessary to do the job. Now, if it was a league minimum, like for $1 million, yeah, I'd probably get hit by somebody. It is what it is. Don't get any ideas. Don't get any ideas. But wherever that is, like, what that looks like for us is, it's hard to live life to the fullest when you feel like there's something missing. And that's what David's going to go into as we talk about this in Psalm 23 and we unpack this. We're going to be spending time today doing it. Next week during our summer Sabbath, we're going to spend time in Psalm 23. And then the following Sunday, July 11th, make plans to be back here at the YMCA. We're going to have some fun there. We'll be gathering back together because we'll be online only next week. We'll be wrapping up Psalm 23. So if you've got your Bible today, let's get to Psalm 23. If you don't know where that is in your Bible, it's really fun. You take your Bible, you cut it in half, and you keep flipping left, and you'll go to Psalm 23. Some of us may have it in the cover of our Bible. It's a familiar psalm. Others of us, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking, or you can follow along with us on the Vine Church app. We've got a digital Bible in there. You're going to see sermon notes in there, ways to connect with us throughout the week, everything about our church and everything that we get to do here at the Vine. But most importantly, you can just see how we can pray for you. We really would love to pray for you if you need anything there. So if you got your Bible, let's get to Psalm 23. And once again, like I said, this psalm is one that's really well known. If you grew up in church, you probably had to memorize this. I don't know if you remember this. Now, I don't know what version you memorized. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you memorize this psalm. Hey, this psalm is often quoted. This psalm has dried a lot of tears. This is most of the time the psalm you say when somebody is at the burial plot. This is the psalm that is most of the time read. It's just traditionally. But today what we're going to see is this psalm for generations has helped hearts mold into a peaceful faith that lacks nothing. And that's what we're going to see David is doing here. So if you've got your Bible, let's get to Psalm 23. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now today I'm going to tell you, we may get through two full verses, maybe a verse and a half. But that's just how we're going to roll today, okay? We're still going to leave here lacking nothing, I promise you. Because believe it or not, if you're listening right now, in Christ Jesus, we lack nothing, right? Like, we already don't lack anything. But I'm telling you, if you'll hang in here with us through the verse and a half, it'll be good. Because here at the Vine, man, we believe in the Word of God. And we also believe in communion that's called lunch, whatever that is for us, as we have communion with the Lord and we rest in Him. So we'll make sure that we do that today. So Psalm 23, verse 1, David comes out swinging again, and I love it. And it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Now you know where we talking about lacking nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. So as we look at this, when David is talking about the Lord, it denotes like the highest position, something that we treasure most. It's the most treasured thing in the world. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, it has to be Jesus. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. Shepherd, lowly, humble position, but yet God works through the lowly, humble people to be lifted up. That's what Jesus did. He lowered himself to us so that we could be lifted up. If you look all throughout the Bible, shepherds are who God announced his people to first. Shepherds. Now, when David even writes this, David is a shepherd himself. Like, even nowadays, we struggle to understand what it means to be a shepherd. Garbage truck driver. And the pin drops. That's what it was thought of in that society. But the thing I want to tell you before we go on, some of the happiest, most content people in the world go home stinking to high heaven every day. Because it's not in what they do, it's in whose they are. And that's what David is talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. But here's the tough pill to swallow. If the Lord is our shepherd, and Christ is our good shepherd, it means there's some sheep involved, right? Now think about the times we live in. Holy cannoli. If you go onto social media right now and you throw out the sheep, what happens? You got both sides flinging stuff at each other, and it ain't wool. Whatever it is, like, we got people going crazy. But here's the tough pill to swallow today. The sheep is you and I. And what are sheep? The dumbest, most helpless creatures on earth. Really. Like, they will follow each other off a cliff. Like, I'm not talking Jesus casting out demons to go in a herd of pigs fall off the cliff. Like, all the sheep will just do-do-do-do-do, whoop, like, just fall off. Like that Price is Rice thing, like, with a llama that goes over the little mountain climber, right? Like, sheep will just go off a cliff if they don't have a shepherd that is leading them well. So for each and every one of us, I hate to break it to you, we're all made in God's image. But without him, we're pretty dumb and helpless. And I want us to see today what David is saying, because with the good shepherd, we can lack nothing. So what I've been reading, studying for this, we're going to be getting some excerpts through this all the way through as it comes to shepherd culture, because it's really hard for us to understand it realistically, because how many of us saw some sheep on the way in today? How many of us have to go on a cattle drive? Like, how many of us have to go out herding sheep all the way through? We don't. So it's hard for us in our culture to understand that. So I've read this. There's a book by Philip Keller, not Timothy Keller, don't get excited, W. Philip Keller, and it's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23, and he talks about what a shepherd does and how this really looks like in Psalm 23. And what he dives into is he starts out by saying, when you say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing," maybe we heard in the King James Version or New King James Version, "I shall not want," or "I shall want not," whatever that is, whatever version you're in, "I lack nothing." What he's saying is this is actually about the dangers that the sheep goes into. The dangers. It's the road that it goes into. And that sheep need a shepherd that's unwavering. And the shepherd has to understand what he is doing when he is leading the sheep. Thank God we are not our own shepherd, right? Because if we're dumb and helpless, there's no way that we aren't going to walk off a cliff. As a matter of fact, 2020 showed us the cliff we can walk off of, right? Like 2021, some people still are trying to be there walking off the cliff. But you see, we have to understand, Keller writes this way. He says, The sheep's well-being depends on the type of shepherd it has. When it comes to the sheep, the shepherd spares no rod. That discipline thing, that's a tough thing, right? And also when it comes to the sheep, every shepherd has a certain earmark that denotes which sheep are his or hers, whatever the shepherd is, are his. You see, that's the number one issue in the universe. Is leadership, right? My goodness, if you were to go into a bookstore right now, what's the biggest section in there? Self-help and leadership. It's something we're all searching for. It's something that we all want. And that's what Keller is writing about. That's what David is writing about, is who our shepherd is determines the path we take in life. And so the question is, who is our shepherd? Is the Lord our shepherd? Is the world our shepherd? Because we're seeing the world descend into chaos more than ever before. Maybe for the first time in our lifetime, for the first time in a long time, we're seeing the world descend into chaos more than ever before. And so for each and every one of us, we have to understand that the shepherd that's running our life will determine the path in which we walk in. And if the world is our shepherd, I'm pretty sure we lack some things, don't we? Matter of fact, we might lack a lot of things if the world is our shepherd. But with Christ as our shepherd, we lack no thing. Now, where you are right now is you may be thinking, well, this God who's perfect and this creator of the universe, like, he would have nothing to do with me, and I don't understand, like, there's no way he would love me. I could never be good enough. I can never satisfy what he needs me to do, and we're stuck in our guilt and shame. And here's what I want to tell you today. The guy who wrote this psalm's a murderer, and he's known to be after God's own heart. He's an adulterer. As a matter of fact, the guy that he murdered, he sent him to the front lines and made sure that the enemy killed him. Like, it wasn't just like the gun accidentally went off. He said, make sure he goes to the front of the front lines and he gets killed. Another guy that's in there that you talk about is the guy that's so important when it comes to Jewish tradition, and it comes to those in the Jewish faith, and it comes to the nation of Israel. Is this guy named Moses. He's a murderer. He led God's people through the Red Sea and into the promised land from Egyptian slavery. He's a murderer. God works through him. And you say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Well, there's this guy named Paul, the reason that we can even hear the gospel today as Gentiles who aren't born as Jews. And guess what? He's a murderer. So I'm pretty sure if God can use murderers, he can use anybody, right? Because we would say anyone who takes a human life would be one that we would say their life has to be given for it, right? So if God can work through that, then we don't need to be stuck in our guilt and shame and let the world be our shepherd and tell us how bad we are at what we do. But instead, we need to step into who we were created to be, to have our best summer ever, and do his will and point others to him. Because in the world we live in, if the world is our shepherd, we think cancel culture is something new. But Jesus walked through it. It was called the Pharisees. It was called religion. We think it's something new. And it will cancel us, and it will tell us that we can never measure up, we can never be good enough. And here's the thing I want to tell you, if you're stuck in that mess today, welcome to the club, because we never can measure up. Welcome to the club, because we never could do it. Did you know that God's in the cancel culture business? He's into canceling the debt and penalty for our sin through his son, Christ Jesus. So if we would just accept that and walk through that, then we could understand that we would lack nothing. Even in the season we're in, the pains we're walking in, our hiccups, our setbacks, our screw-ups, our major failures, would we just lean into the good shepherd and let him speak in and through us for it? Because when we do, we'll lack nothing. We'll lack nothing. Like, how good does it feel to lack nothing? Now, I started off by saying, have you ever just felt ill-equipped to do a job? Have you ever just walked into a job fully equipped? How great you feel? We just walked out of Dad's day. It used to be back in the day. Now it's ties, I guess, a tool belt. Like, Dad would always have to have a good tool belt, right? And what does Dad have in his tool belt? Everything. Like, snacks, drinks, wrenches, hammers, tape measure that's like 50 feet long and you only, like, 50 feet long and they get it for 3 inches. Like, what in the world? Like, but whatever it is. Like, Dads have everything in their tool belt. They're fully equipped. Have you ever just walked into the job fully equipped? How free were you in doing that job? Maybe you're at work right now and you fully equipped. You have somebody who leads you and they give you every tool necessary to succeed. How great does that feel? Doesn't that just feel great? Like, don't you just feel free? Like, you can thrive in that, right? That's what Jesus gives us in this life that we get to live. Because when we say lack nothing, we're going to go back to that old version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall want not, whatever we look like, whatever we say, or whatever version you're in. We're reading from the NIV here. Want is something that leads us to discontentment always. Lack, when we look at lack. Because as sheep, what do we lack? Everything. Without the shepherd, the sheep get no water. Without the shepherd, the sheep don't get sheared. Their hooves don't get taken care of. Without the shepherd, they can't buy black sheep, have you any wool, three bags full. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, without the shepherd, they're not going to be led through the darkest valleys. Without the shepherd, they're not going to be able to rest. Without the shepherd, they have nothing. So our wants and the things that we try to go through and try to say is more important than Christ himself will lead us to discontentment. As a matter of fact, let's just really unpack it. Why in the world do we sin? Because we're not content in Christ being who he needs to be in our life. We say that the contentment and the temporary satisfaction that that sin gives me is greater than the eternal satisfaction that Christ has died to give me. Discontentment, want, lack. That is what leads us not to live life to the fullest. And why do we get stuck in that? Because we compare. We go on our social media, we look at their feed, they've got the perfect filter, the perfect family, their kids always behave. If you've ever been around kids, I'm still a kid, I'm not married, and I don't have kids, so I'm still a kid. Kids don't behave, I don't behave. Lord Jesus, if you see me out in the street, you'll just be like, well, if the Lord can work through that guy, he can work through anybody. Praise God, amen, yes, he can. So I want to tell you, when it comes to that, when we compare to others, so many times we think we lack. But when I go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, what is it that Jesus talks about? The rains come on who? The righteous and the unrighteous. See, we have a common grace in God where so many times we can compare to others and get stuck, but the thing that we have to understand is the satisfaction, the lack, the longing being filled can be only determined by where our salvation lies, in the temporary or eternal, which is guided by our shepherd. If we are being shepherded by the world, we'll always lack. It'll always be the next house, the next car, the next job, the next kid, the next promotion, the next relationship. Lack, 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 lack. But in Christ it says, we lack nothing. We can be fully satisfied. So as sheep, congratulations. Tell everyone you're a sheep today. See what happens on social media again. That'll be fun. It'll be a great conversation starter. Sheep, as sheep, how dumb are we to think we can tell the shepherd where to go? Think about your prayers. How many times do you ask God for his will to be done instead of your will? I'm guilty of it too. Your and I will to be done. God, if they could just see it. God, if you would just do it. God, if you would... Sheep. When's the last time... Okay, we don't have sheep culture. When's the last time the garbage truck told the garbage man where to... I mean, maybe they have GPS in there. That's a bad example. But whatever that is, like, how many times do we see the sheep leading the shepherd? It will only lead to destruction. But you see, here's the beauty of the gospel. What does the Father do to the 99 to come after us? What did Jesus do? He hunted us down because he knows that we lack the wants. Why do sheep normally leave the shepherd? The grass is being greener on the other side. We'll tackle that in a second. Why do sheep leave the shepherd? Because there's water over there and I'm thirsty, even if it's bad for me. Why do the sheep leave the shepherd? This way looks easier than that way. I'm not going to go down the hill and valley. I'm going to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. Yeah, how does that work? What do you do there? The sheep always go away. But God in his grace and mercy sends his son Jesus to hunt us down, not because of how good we are, but because of how much he loves us. Not because we've earned it, but because he loves us. Not because we deserved it, but because he loves us. Not because we just needed one more thing to do in the thousands of things that fill our day, but because he loves us. You see, salvation for each and every one of us, so many times, I think we can squeeze the gospel into this box that says we meet God, a stranger, and we get to know this stranger. But real salvation is kind of like, we'll talk about it next week as well, but salvation is a reconciliation to a relationship. It's like hearing that old familiar song you never knew that you once knew. It's like all of a sudden the echoes of your soul, the thing that you know, this thing you've been searching for your whole life, you finally find it. And you realize it's been there all along. And it's Christ Jesus who left the 99 for you and me. wherever you are right now, if you're letting the world be your shepherd, let the chaos and the craziness of the world show you that if the world is your shepherd, it will always lead you to destruction. It will always lead you to cancellation. It will always lead you to wanting more. But if Christ is your shepherd, it will always leave you satisfied in every season. Every season. He is the answer that you're searching for. Psalm 23:2 goes on to say this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, I learned that there was the maketh. There's that old KJV coming out. Forgive me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. When Christ is our shepherd, we get to lie down. We get to rest. In green pastures. Oh, I talked to you about the weed the other week, about the neighbor's weed and like the sidewalk weed that comes up when the neighbor's lawn is good. How many of us know green grass happens by accident? Does it? Never does. Green pastures take work, don't they? It takes work to have a clean yard. It takes work to have a clean garden. As a matter of fact, the greenest grass has gone through the most crap because manure is all over it. And so many times it's easy for us to look at the neighbor's yard and say, their yard is so green, I envy it, I want it. And you say, you should see all the crap I went to get it that way. You see, we don't have to make our grass green. He's already made it green for us. And he leads us to this green grass that sustains us. And in it, he allows us to lie down in it. In other words, what I'm trying to say and what David is saying for us is only in Christ can we truly rest. What's it like to rest? Real rest. I'm really asking because I struggle with it all the time. That's what Jesus still works out in me. But rest. We have newborns here, so I think of parents finally getting like 5 minutes of sleep uninterrupted. Has to be restful. Maybe you had that crazy diagnosis or the bills finally got caught up and you could finally rest. You could just finally rest, like rest. What if you could have that for eternity? How free would that be? Yet right now in our brain, we're thinking about the 17 things we have to do after this. Sheep leading the shepherd. What if we just rested in green pasture? Not our manure. See, our crap is what made it green, but he walked through our crap for us so that we could grow in him. Rest in green pasture. He is our good shepherd. And this is why. In him is finished, isn't it? We just sang through it. We just worshiped in it. He said and declared on the cross, the work is done. You see, we keep thinking the green grass is over there. And see, for a sheep, they will look. Keller talks about in the book how sheep, a lot of times as the shepherd is leading them, the sheep will go to the end of the fence if the pasture is green on the other side, and they won't move. They'll only look at the green grass. Even though he'll try to lead them to green grass in the pasture, if the pasture on the other side is greener than theirs, they will just stand there pretty much vulnerably waiting for pests, wolves, somebody to shear them, I don't know, get some wool, and they will just stare at the green grass to their own detriment instead of being led to the nourishment that will sustain them. That sheep leading the shepherd. Do we do that? Do we lie down in him? See, what I love about what we do here at the Vine Church is we take these Sabbaths because we want to be obedient in the rest. And here's what it really amounts to. We're getting into a lot of crazy theology good stuff today, but it's okay. Really quickly, I know sometimes I get real nerdy on these things, but there are two things when it comes to Christianity, two spheres that cross, and we talk about it a lot, but it's the contemplative Christian with the active Christian, and these things merge together, and basically what that means is the contemplative part of Christianity, confession, repentance, like it leads to active part of Christianity. In other words, the contemplative part means that we can rest in Christ, and the active part is the good works he created for us from the foundations of the earth to do. Contemplative and active. Now, take account for a minute. How many times do we go from the active to get to the contemplative? Religion tells us we've got to work to rest, because 6 days I must labor so that one day I must rest. But Jesus comes and says, no. I have come so that you may rest in me, and that will help you work the 6 days. We get it backwards. Tortoise and the Hare. Great book. Jesus still works on me on this all the time. If you've gone through FPU, you've gone through Financial Peace, or any John Maxwell leadership, this will always come up. The Tortoise and the Hare. Let me ask you something about the book. Who always wins? The tortoise wins every time. The tortoise wins every time. So in other words, this is what I'm trying to get at when it comes to contemplative and active. We can spend our whole lives like the hare trying to work and do everything. I'm guilty of it. Jesus still works. We can try to work and get everything in just the right place to finish the race well. But the tortoise, slow, steady, step by step, rested in who he was created to be. His identity was in something greater than the race itself. And slowly but surely, he crossed the finish line first. Basically, this is what contemplative and active Christianity means. We live like the tortoise to work like the hare. We don't work like the hare to try to be like the tortoise. We rest in Christ to do the work he's created us to do. We don't first work in Christ to try to earn the rest he died to give us. So right now where we are, what if 2020, I've said this a million times, but it's something Jesus has to work on me. What if 2021, Jesus is saying, are you finally going to enter my rest? Hey, the health issues I walk through a lot of times, it's Jesus going, rest, boy, listen to me. Like, what else do you need? Rest. And that's why we as a church, I'll just be as vulnerable as I can be. That's why we as a church twice a year take a Sabbath rest. Because me as your pastor, I struggle with that. I struggle with rest so cussed bad. I'm like the hare running around. Just when you come hang out, you'll see it. You'll be talking to me, and I'll be over here just going, ooh-wee, look at this. Oh, yep, this needs to be a little bit straighter. This needs to be, yep, it works. Yeah, I will be all over the place. That's just, I'm the hare. I don't know why. It's just in my wiring. It's how I work. But Jesus is fixing me in that, but I'm saying, for our life, what if we did live our life like the tortoise so that we could work like the hare? At the Vine, we believe in the Sabbath rest, and why it's important is every year around July 4th, when most of us are with our family shooting Roman candles at each other, if you haven't done that, you really haven't lived life. I'm just going to let you know. And if you don't know, I just gave some great kids some great ideas. So wherever you are, like, we're usually with family. We take a rest as a church. At Christmas, it's a busy season. We take a rest after Christmas. We take a Sabbath rest. We believe that Christ has called us to rest. And many would say, well, why in the world would you do that? Because we know that Jesus could do more in the 50 weeks or 49 weeks that we gather than we could ever do in 52 of our own. So let me tell it to you this way. This is why we believe in how we give here at the Vine. Last year in the pandemic, we missed 7 weeks of gathering. We were probably one of the only churches in the world that only did that. Can you think about that? About God's faithfulness and blessing that Sabbath rest? Think about that. Like, I'm getting cold chills thinking about it. Like, think of his faithfulness. We were obedient in all of this time, all of these years, obedient and just taking the Sabbath rest from the moment we launched. That is what we knew God called us to do, and we did it, and that's all we missed. That's all we missed. We were getting to gather when everyone else couldn't. We were able to meet in this facility when others couldn't because of God's faithfulness. Because we were obedient, and he blessed the obedience because we rested in him. So I wonder if we would continue to live that way. That's why we take this rest next week, to get refreshed, restored, to come back fired up and ready to gather. But it's important for us to live our lives that way. Because the world will always tell us, if it is our shepherd, our performance dictates the status that we have. How many followers we have, retweets, likes, how many free gifts we get, I don't know, whatever that is, how much of our, we think our status is, the world will say how you perform dictates that. Jesus says his performance dictates our status. what he has done for us. And so, as we wrap up talking about lacking nothing, my question is, who is leading you? Who is your shepherd? Because if you point to me, I'm going to let you down. But if you point to Christ and I point to him, I promise you, you're not going to lack anything. If you point to your job, it's going to let you down. Trust me, it's going to let you down. Getting might be good now, but it will let you down. But if it's in Christ, you'll lack nothing. And it'll direct the path you take so much so it will be, Jesus will be the thing you treasure more than what anything else in this world can offer. And so the question is for your and my life, who are we led beating the shepherd of our life? Better question is, what's the one thing we think we can't make it through right now? And are we listening to the shepherd through it? Or are we trying to blaze our own trail through it? I promise you, if you're trying to blaze your own trail through it, you're going to go off the cliff. Like the old yodeler on The Price is Right. You're going to go off the cliff all the way up. Going to go off the cliff. But in Christ, whether it's the valley of the shadow of death, or a table in front of your enemies, or it's a green pasture to lie down in, or still quiet waters to sit in, you're going to lack nothing. So wherever you are right now, I just want to ask you, who's leading your life? Maybe for the first time you're realizing that Jesus is not leading your life. And I just want to tell you, we as Christians know this. We've come to the realization of this. Those of us who follow Christ, here's the only difference. We realize that we are sinners. We thought that we could find contentment in the things of this world and leading ourselves better than having contentment in the one who can only satisfy the need that we have. In other words, because of our sin, death had to happen. The penalty for it was death. And we could either pay for our sin with our own life, or we could receive the free gift of salvation that Christ died for us to give us. And the crazy thing is, we think we could earn it enough, and I just want to tell you, none of us could ever be righteous enough to be in a relationship with God. So Jesus came, the Son of God, Jesus Christ came to live the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, fulfilling the law to make us righteous, died the death we deserve, paying the penalty for our sin on the cross to continue to make us righteous, loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day, so the same power that raised him from the grave, from the Holy Spirit, is what lives inside of us to have the freedom to be who he created us to be right now, wherever we are. And so for each and every one of us, Jesus said it this way when it comes to us living life to the fullest. In John 10, verse 7 through 10, it says, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find what? Pasture. Green pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you want to live your fullest life and have your best summer ever and find pasture, find rest, lack nothing, it can't be found in the world because the world will only steal, kill, and destroy. But in Christ, you can have life and have it to the full and be exactly who you were created to be from the foundations of the earth. Be equipped for every season that you walk in because you aren't the one leading yourself. You're following the one who's already gone before it. You're following the one who's already defeated it. You're following the one who has already been through it. You're following the one that is outside of time, the beginning, the Alpha, the Omega, the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already been there. And if he's guiding you, my goodness, how free is it to walk through it? So with every head bow and every eye closed, if that's you today, I want to tell you, we're about to say a prayer. We're not going to say this prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's not a 15-step program that saves you. It's the faith that realizes that in ourselves, we will always lack. But by receiving this free gift of salvation that Christ died to give us, we can be made new, be made whole, and be made exactly who we were created to be, to lack nothing so that we can rest in him. This prayer is the faith in this prayer that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the gate, he is the good shepherd, and only in him can we have salvation. That is what saves. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. Please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, I just want to say, I'm going to count to three, and would you boldly and courageously raise your hand if for the first time you have received this free gift of salvation? One, two, three. If that's you, if you're in the house, if you're watching online, you're going to see a hand that's raised. If you're listening throughout the week, you are actually also going to have a way to connect with us. You can do that in the app, or you could shoot us a comment on social media, reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv, or even reach out to us at 864-580-6698. We would love to celebrate this decision with you. And for the rest of us, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into worship. But as we pray for this, whatever season we're in, I just pray that right now we would be reminded that we lack nothing. So let's pray, and then we're going to worship the Father together. Dear Jesus, thank you again for what you have done for us. Thank you that in you we lack nothing. Lord, I pray right now, whatever season we're in, that we wouldn't be marred by maybe shame or guilt or our past mistakes or our past success, whatever that looks like. Lord, I pray we wouldn't be marred in that, but instead we would be surrounded by you. Jesus, in this moment, as we step into your presence, I just pray we would be reminded that there is no other love like yours, that there is nothing in this world that would leave the 99 to come after us, to hunt us down in the midst of ourself, in spite of ourself, come leave the 99 to come find us and bring us back and reconcile us into relationship with the Father to be exactly who we were created to be. Jesus, I just pray that we would rest in you. I'm as guilty as everyone else when it comes to that. So Jesus, I just pray in this moment we would rest in you, and that as we rest in you, we would have and trust to have the strength to do the work you created us to do. That we don't have to sit on the sidelines and be lazy when it comes to work, but instead we work like the hare because we live like the tortoise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming down and doing for us what we can never do for ourselves. And as you lead us into this day and this week, I pray that we would give you all the glory. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we can be excited that we have a good shepherd, right? Yeah. That there is no other love, that we don't have to earn it. All we have to do is receive it, and we lack nothing. Now, when you go to the grocery store today, that doesn't mean, or you go to lunch, say, I lack nothing. I need this for free. Like, that doesn't mean that. That just means you go out, make sure we take care of everyone we see. But we get to share the one thing in this world that can only satisfy, and that's Christ Jesus, because nothing of this world can satisfy. So we are so thankful for that. We are so thankful that you have joined us. Wherever you're watching or listening around the world, just a reminder again, next week, Sabbath rest, go shoot some fireworks, get the barbecue ready, go say hello to your neighbor that you haven't said hello to, or maybe you chose not to during the pandemic. Take your mask off, say hello to them, and let's go have our best summer ever and make plans to get back here Sunday, July 11th. We're going to be back here wrapping up Psalm 23. Next week, we're going to be in verse 2 and 3 of Psalm 23. Hang in there. We're going to go through it, but I promise you, it's going to be great as we talk about refreshes my soul next week and continue to wrap up Psalm 23. So make plans to be here. We can't wait to see you here then. Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.